Hi, my name is Bruce McDonald, and you're listening to After the Credits on Row3.com, the best row in the house.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Brian Antunes, joined today by fellow podcast co-host
Colleen.
Dale from Over 40 in Vancouver. And each for all, a cooperative connection on Vancouver Co-op Radio.
And what's the
FM 100.5 in Vancouver and co-opradio.org on the interwebs.
I just blow up stuff, so.
I have to do that station ID, like...
That's why I
three times.
That's why I wanted you to do the whole thing. I'm like, come on, give us the whole thing.
I feel like the underachiever.
I feel like the underachiever. Okay, Jesus Christ.
How many freaking places do you write for for?
No.
Organizing for Spark.
Let's not talk about Spark. It's just nothing but problems.
No underachiever, right. You.
Okay. So we're back between shows for our bonus episode. What have we been watching? And Colleen has come up with a great name that might stick or might
our
not.
Our working title is the Littlest Hobo Podcast.
Where we talk about what we've been doing other than watching movies, which includes watching a lot of movies and TV. So it's basically somebody had asked us what we are watching, what we watched in the previous month, I guess. So we're just going to do this little bonus show where we talk about what we've been doing with our time when we're not, you know, podcasting.
You know, instead of having productive lives, what we did with media.
Pretty much.
All right.
Pretty much. I don't know how we want to start.
Let's just start with movies, since
this is a movie podcast.
For us to talk about to begin.
So what have you guys been seeing? Because I honestly have not been. I don't think I went to the movie theater once last month.
I haven't been in August like this month. I went last month, but this month between the radio show and my PS4,
which we will get to in a moment.
Yeah. I can talk about PS4 games.
Yeah, which you should.
You should. I'll be going to the theater for the first time since Iceland tonight, because I plan to go see Amy at the cheap $3
nice.
Theater.
Oh, so. Nice. Very good.
Exactly.
So. You'll have to let me know how that goes, because it's supposed to be quite good, and I haven't seen it yet.
But, I was in Iceland. I did manage to go to a one-screen cinema in Iceland with my friends Warren and Lisa.
And you took one for the team.
We took one for the team. The only thing playing that night in Isafjord, or whatever the hell the name was, because I slaughtered all their city names. Other than Vic, I think I got Vic down, was Paper Towns.
Woohoo!
Not a film that I would normally associate with my normal viewing, but since it's the only thing showing that night.
Even I didn't really like Paper Towns.
No.
And it's totally in my wheelhouse.
So we sat up in the balcony with a few Icelandic teenage girls kind of thing that seemed to... like the film quite a bit. I don't think the three of us really were enamored with it.
Because it's not that good.
No, I periodically was laughing, but I was flashing back to the trailer of Vacation, where like one of the kids in the backseat had a plastic bag over his brother's face and like was suffocating him. So, yeah.
Laughing inappropriately?
I was thinking inappropriately about how funny that scene was from the trailers. So that probably indicates what my actual thoughts on the film are.
Nat Wolff in it, but otherwise the movie is meh.
I have a really silly reason for being sad that Paper Towns wasn't that good. You know that British interviewer you really love when he had the eyebrow off between Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones and the star of Paper Towns?
Yes.
That is so totally worth looking up on YouTube.
That totally is. We'll have to link to it. Remind me. Eyebrow off.
I also watched on the plane back Hunger Games 3. I remember that. I don't know what the name
Mockingjay Part 1.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Award 1. Thank you. Thank you. I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
I wanted to go to some of the detective noir kind of thing at Cinematheque, but I've been really tired lately.
I did too, and my schedule just would not let me.
Okay, but you went like right over Mockingjay and didn't even say whether you liked it or hated it. Or
I feel like a completionist now. I need to watch the entire series.
Yeah, oh, have you watched the first two?
I did watch the first two.
It's post-apocalyptic, so you know, it kind of has that going for it.
I know, you know what? It does have children hunting other children, and I have always been on board in that case. But yeah, to make up for the detective noir that I missed, I did get to see 12 Angry Man on TV, which is one of my all-time favorite films, and it's where I have my disturbing love lust for Jack Klugman start at an early age.
Right.
So,
you know, that's the one thing I miss about having cut the cord is just randomly surfing through and hitting something interesting on like Turner Classics.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's it for me for movies.
Dale, did you see anything?
Last month, Inside Out and Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I liked them both. Oh, well, I was not, like, people, it was really interesting Inside Out. Like, some people were going batshit crazy, like, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Other people were like, it's a good movie, that's the camp I was in. And it was.
Ditto.
It was a good movie, but I thought it was really fascinating how some people just really, really resonated with that movie. Like,
And I don't see it. Like, I agree. I'm with you. I thought it was good.
Well, someone should do their thesis on that. Truly.
I agree. Because I really would like to understand why there is, like, the level of love there is for it. Because, I mean, yeah, people are fanatical about it. And I can't quite put my finger, like, there isn't, like, one moment that I kind of go, oh, my God, this is, like. Like, there's no up moment.
Yeah.
Like that opening sequence in Up is enough for me to say that movie's a classic. There's nothing here like that for me. So it was kind of like.
It was a charming little movie. It had a few. For a Pixar movie, there was a couple moments in it. I thought it's like, really? You kept that? Like, it's a wonderful scene, but you guys are usually really good at being focused.
Yeah.
And I thought a couple of those scenes were a little bit unfocused, which. Mm-hmm. Is not to take away anything from the movie, but, mm-hmm. you know, one of those things that just didn't make it, like, a standout.
Yeah.
And Ant-Man may actually be my favorite Marvel movie to date.
Cool.
I'm not sure, because I have to be careful with movies. Like, when I rewatch them, I'll get caught. Like, Iron Man, I loved Iron Man, and I've rewatched it a couple times now, and it's like, I don't know what it was about the first watch. It caught me, like, it was fantastic. And it's still, like, a really fun movie, but it's not, like, it's not a classic.
Yeah, but Ant-Man's still in the
Ant-Man
theaters.
Ant-Man might be.
Because I'm house-sitting in Pitt Meadows, and I'm within easy walking distance of either Meadowtown or the Hollywood 3,
mm-hmm.
I plan to basically utilize this a lot and catch up in the next week. Mm-hmm. And Ant-Man's high on my list, because I love Ant-Man. I actually have the Ant-Man comics and all that, so I'm kind of psyched for it.
Yeah, and that's the one that I really want to see that I haven't. That and Mission Impossible, which I still haven't seen, believe it or not. It just hasn't worked.
I find that hard to believe, but I haven't seen it either. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we were going to go with Val and Michael yesterday, and it just didn't work out. So I'm hoping in the next like week and a half, because I'd like to see that in theaters.
Yeah.
Because it seems like the kind of thing you want to see like on a big screen. Just it's been insane, so we haven't had the time to go to it yet. But that's one I really want to catch up with. Anything else movie-wise?
Not movie-wise. No, I had, like I say, yeah, because I haven't even been channel surfing
because
I can't anymore. So I, no accidental TV films.
Like. Yeah, and I've had a pretty, it's been a pretty good movie month. I've been catching up on a lot of stuff it's been a good month for catching up, period, because TV has been kind of slow with new material.
Has it ever?
Yeah, and I mean, because I haven't been really having the time to go to the movies, I've been watching other stuff that I've been meaning to catch up on. So I have caught up with a lot of stuff, but nothing, not a lot of stuff that's that memorable. But there were a couple that I sort of wanted to mention. I saw Dark Places, which is the second Gillian Flynn adaptation, the one with Charlize Theron as like the sole survivor of a massacre when she was a kid. And she's been a recluse ever since. And now this murder mystery group that is basically a group of like amateur detectives go around solving unsolved crimes. And her brother is in prison for having committed the crime, but they don't think he did it. And so they talk to her to try to find, get to the bottom of the mystery. And it's an interesting story, and the performances are really good. And it also stars Nicholas Holt, who Charlize Theron starred in Mad Max. So it's kind of neat to see them reunited in a completely different atmosphere. It's solid. The performances are good. The movie is kind of meddling. Like, it's not particularly memorable, but it's worth seeing for the interesting mystery and the performances. Return to Sender, which is like Gone Girl 2.0, sort of. It's what's her name? I can't remember her name now. It'll come to me eventually, but the girl that was in Gone Girl, the woman, Rosamund Pike. Thank you, brain. Actually working. So Rosamund Pike plays this woman who is raped. The guy goes to prison, and then she starts writing him letters. Or he starts writing her letters, and she responds. Something weird like that. And they form this really weird relationship in prison. And then shit happens when he gets out. And it's so not the movie that you would expect. It's another one. The performances are good. The movie is a great concept. The execution is a little weird. It doesn't fully work, but it's okay. It's worth checking out if it's like on TV. It's kind of interesting. The other day, The Scandalous Lady W was on television. It was a made-for-TV BBC special with, what's her name? Natalie Dormer from Game of Thrones. And it's the second time that BBC has adapted the story, which is the real story of a woman in, like, 18th century England who was married to this political guy, and he had some bizarre sexual tastes. He basically liked to watch her have sex with other men. So he basically pimped her out. And when she had enough and actually fell in love with one of the guys that he pimped her out to and wanted to leave him, he caused all sorts of ruckus. And it's a fascinating story. The movie is really not very good. Not very good. The original BBC one that they did in the 60s is much, much better. And the story really deserves a better adaptation because it's fascinating. So I'm actually curious to go and find some sort of biography on this woman because it sounds like she certainly lived a life. And then after that whole thing happened, she was basically living on her own and she refused to get married. And when she eventually did get married, she married a guy that was like half her age and he took her name. She was like not taking any man's names. Wow. Like, to the man. So she was like a feminist ahead of her time. Good for her. And I finally saw in, I must admit, three parts, Spike Lee's The Sweet Blood of Jesus, which I don't know if you guys remember was his...
No, totally don't remember that one.
It was his take on sort of vampirism. He says it's not a vampire story, but it totally fucking is. It's bizarre and a little bit of a train wreck and totally watchable in like this weird, weird way. I think I liked it. I would like to give it another go at some point. It's just really long and it's so meandering and it's just so oddball that I just don't know. Like, it's almost like you need to watch it in a theater where you really can't leave because it's so easy to kind of get distracted.
You need to be kept hostage.
No, well, that's kind of the feeling that I get. Like, I would need...
There's a lot of movies that I like seeing in the theater because it forces me to focus.
Because it's just so easy to get carried away with this one.
Yeah.
It's just so weird. So weird. But I would recommend checking it out, even for just a small portion of it, because as soon as the opening credits start, you're like, oh, okay, this is something interesting. And then it's like a totally different movie. And the entire movie is like that. Like, these two things should not go together, but they do, and it's kind of weird. So those are the movies that I watched that I kind
of speaking liked. Of movies that I have finally seen, I forget when exactly I saw it, but you had recommended 20 Feet from Stardom, and it is awesome. It is one of the best documentaries I've seen in a very long time.
Yes! I think Muscle Shoals is also on Netflix. They just added it not that long ago. Also highly recommended it if you like 20 Feet from Stardom. Muscle Shoals is awesome. And it's all about the music in Muscle Shoals. And it's freaking awesome. TV. Because I have been clearing my TV back catalog like nobody's business.
The only thing I have on my PVR recording every day is Perry Mason. And I get 2 hours a day. And I forgot to turn it off when I went to Iceland. So I'm literally buried in Perry Mason episodes. So the last one I saw... what was it? Perry Mason actually brought a burro, like a donkey, into the court to testify And of course, Hamilton Burger kind of thing was all up in arms about the mockery of the court, but the judge allowed it or something. It was ludicrous. So I'm slowly working through my backlog of Perry Mason. And that's it for TV. Oh,
TV is a real dead zone right now.
Yeah, as far as first run stuff, it has been pretty quiet.
The only thing that I'm watching a couple of, like, the two new sci-fi.
Oh, Dark Matter.
Dark Matter and Killjoys.
Yeah.
They're okay. Actually, Killjoys, more often than not, it's kind of like, this should be working better. It's not quite, but it's at least for me is
working enough that it's watchable.
Yeah, and I need something to watch dinner over. And honestly, it's as good for me as the Succubus one.
Oh yeah, Lost Girl.
Lost Girl, thank you. Like, yeah, I'm enjoying it at least as much as Lost Girl. So,
so there's that for sure.
I don't know how it is getting treated in the greater public, but the one that I would recommend people see, like for me, it started slow. I almost dropped it, and I'm glad I didn't. Was Humans?
Yes,
BBC.
Thank you.
Like that Very was. Good. That really got like meaty and some really good stuff. And
yes.
the lead actress,
The woman,
she's amazing.
Yeah. She's fantastic.
I wish I could remember the name. So British actors, but the woman that played the housewife, like she started off as a real bitch. Like I did not like her. And by the end of the show, like she's practically the hero of the show. Like I love that.
Yeah. She was on, oh my God, I forgot the name of the show.
But I mean, all of the characters, like I think every single character had an arc. The bad guys weren't quite so meaty, but all of the other characters, like they really, like they all progressed during the show. It was just some great writing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
In interesting ways.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Cause it did start, you're totally nailed it. It started off a little bit on the slow side and then totally picked up. And yeah, I think it was only like 8 episodes.
Yeah, it's only 8
episodes.
It's
totally worth checking out. I believe if you're in the US, it's streaming on A&E now. They've got all episodes streaming on their website. Totally worth checking out. And the woman was in the IT Crowd. That's the name looking for.
Okay.
So a little bit of a departure for her. But yeah, she was fantastic.
And my retro choice is certainly not Perry Mason, but a friend of mine loaned me his Max Headroom on DVD. So
nice.
I have watched episode 1. It actually, I was a little bit afraid. You know how you watch these old shows that you really like, oh, that was great. I was not sure if this was going to ruin it for me or not.
How dated it's going to be because it was tech.
Yeah.
It's pre-internet.
Yeah.
It actually held up way better than I thought. It's definitely a child of its times.
Yeah.
But it held up way better than I thought. The first episode anyway. So I'm looking forward to watching the rest of them.
Yeah, I actually got some retro TV as well. Seth and V Let Me Profit, the Adrian Passar show from like the late 90s. Because they said it was really dark and way ahead of its time and totally worth watching. And I had seen like the first episode of the DVD that they let me, and it was okay, but I watched one episode and then didn't get back to it for like months. So because it's been quiet, I'm like, okay, I'm going to clear some of this shit from my to watch list. And I pretty much mainlined the last two episodes. It was really good. And it was weird because it was shot in Vancouver. And it's kind of this weird thing when like you realize that you recognize something, kind of, sort of, but it's not really the way it is now. It's the way it used to be. And it's like the 90s of my high school years when I used to hang out on Granville Street. And it was really weird. But yeah, it's a really good show. And I totally agree. I think if it was on now, it would totally be still on TV. But it was really dark for its time. Like, it's this guy who was like lived a really traumatic childhood and grew up in this box that said Grayson and Grayson on the side, because that was the name of the family that I guess the box came from. So he goes on, like, when he's fully grown, he goes on this mission to take down this family, and like shit just goes crazy. He has like this affair with his mother. It's seriously twisted.
I do not remember this show.
Oh, if you want, because I need to give V and Seth the DVDs back, you can have them and watch them. It's only 9 episodes. It's totally worth checking out. It's pretty good. I also finally caught up on Daredevil. Did you guys?
I give really like Daredevil.
Yeah. I've seen all but about four episodes.
Yeah, I love it. Another one that, like, Dan and I watched one or two episodes, and Dan was kind of like, ah, it's okay. So we sort of stopped watching it. And again, I'm like, okay, I'm going to finally give this a go. And holy shit, was it ever good. Like, once you get past episode three, it's like, it's hitting on all cylinders all the time. My only complaint is, you know, everybody was all up in arms about the suit. The Daredevil suit, I really don't care for the suit. Like, I like Daredevil in, like, the black getup with, like, the face mask thing, the face kerchief, and that's it. That totally works for me.
I thought they handled that well.
I think the way he comes to the suit is really, really good, but I really don't, you know, the suit is just the suit.
This has been the most human of all the Marvel stories. Yes. Like, it's a very personal thing, and it's a very... The guy obviously is enhanced because he's blind, but he can fight. But the way that he comes, like, it, origin story in, what was it, 16 parts?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And yeah, I thought that was great. Like, I was fine with the suit because this is truly his origin story. It's like he's still figuring shit out.
Yeah.
And getting his ass kicked doing it.
Oh yeah, totally. Which is one of the things I think one of the things I really like about it, that he actually gets hurt and you get to see the repercussions of that.
I had one complaint with the story, and I can kind of rationalize it away in my head, but it's a minor complaint. But he always seemed to have the same difficulty level with, like, the lower level guys and the Uber guys, right? He seemed to get his ass kicked about the same
with
and
both.
And that didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I could totally
but,
go
But, you
with
know,
that.
It's a minor thing. Overall, I thought, like you say, like definitely the emotional beats in the story were bang on.
Yeah, Charlie Cox really acts the ass out of that show, like, big time. I already liked him, but yeah, he totally sells that big time. Are you a fan of that one too, Colleen? I know you said you watched most of it.
Watched most of it. I let my Netflix sort of expire, lapse. So like I'm like going, crap, I only have like eight more, like how many... Yeah, I had to skip a few episodes. So I went through and went, yeah, that sounds boring. Boring. I'll watch this one. So I think I missed about four. But otherwise, it was quite good. I liked it.
Awesome. I also finally watched Sense8, which I had seen like half of the first episode and went, what the fuck is going on in this show? And by the time you get to the end of the first episode, it's like, I'm very confused, but I'm intrigued enough that I will watch more, and then I mainline the rest of the show. It is awesome.
I only made two episodes.
I didn't. I watched all of it. And
so good.
It's not really for
not
me.
For you.
No.
I thought it went some really great places. I cannot wait for more. Wachowski's got it. They nailed it again. What else did I see? Okay, so the show that I want to like totally talk about, because Colleen actually was the first person to recommend it to me, and then somebody else did, and I put it on my to-watch list. And so I'm going through the list. I'm like, okay, so I've watched everything else that only has like 10 or 12 episodes. This one has like 29, but they're like 40 minutes. I think I can do this. And that's The 100 on the CW.
I'm telling you, Children Hunting Children, what's not to like?
So I clearly remember that the thing that put me off of both the trailer for the show, and I pretty much watch anything that's on the CW unless it's a superhero show, and then I'm just not interested. The one thing that put me off was like in the trailer for the show, like one of the girls jumps out of the arc or the box thing when it falls to the ground. She's like, oh, we're good. And everybody comes out and it's like a party on the ground. And that's the trailer. I'm like, yeah, I have zero interest in this. And that's basically like the first 10 minutes. And then from there, it's just like it hits the ground running and it doesn't stop for 29 episodes.
Yeah.
If the show is so much better than anybody gives it credit for.
I will say it outright. I do not think it's good TV, but it's addictive TV.
No, I disagree. I think
it makes you
want
to watch more of this horrible shit.
It's not horrible. You know, it does some really interesting things with age dynamics, sexual dynamics, like morality. Like, it brings everything into question. And it's seriously, and you said it best, the people that watch the show love it.
Yeah.
The people that have never watched the show are like, what the fuck are you talking about? And there's nobody in between. So we need to make it so that more people are watching the show so that it doesn't get canceled.
I actually saw the pilot to this and I just could not. It was awful.
No.
There's something about the awfulness that eventually sort of like...
So wait, what was awful about it?
I could not suspend.
I think the acting is horrible.
Suspend your disbelief?
Suspend my disbelief. Like, just the whole premise for our only hope is if this planet is okay, so we're going to send down 100 misfits that we want to get rid of to check this planet out.
I actually don't think that there's anything wrong with that premise. Because I could kind of totally see that happening.
Like,
you have 2,000 people that you think are the last remnants of humanity left. Who are you going to send to the ground?
You're going to
the ones you can get rid of and afford to lose.
If you're going to set a settlement up, if you're going to check it out, like, who do you want the most reliable information from?
Oh, see, and I never got the sense that they wanted to set up a settlement. They just wanted to make sure running out
of oxygen and supplies, and people weren't being productive.
He didn't get that far after one episode, and that's the problem. I totally understand that the setup for the first episode is a little bit weird, but I mean, I totally, now that I've seen the whole thing, it makes sense to me.
I don't think a lot of the premises are particularly good. I think the acting is ham-boned, but you know what?
Oh, I don't know about that.
The whole thing somehow that
works.
It's just a mess that works for me.
I don't think it's as messy as you might think.
I think it's a total mess.
I disagree with the mess, but at least we're in agreement that it's worth watching.
Exactly.
I'm preaching about this show to everybody I know because it's good. There's something for everybody.
Is that it for TV?
Yes.
I'm going to go on to podcasts since that's probably the media I use the most lately. Four new podcasts that I've been listening to in the last little while that I want to go over. Limetown. It's a seven-parter. It's a fictional story about this town full of very smart geniuses that suddenly one day everyone disappears. The town's still there. Everything's there. The infrastructure's there. Just everyone is gone. Men, women, children, gone. And it's an investigative reporter kind of thing. It's only one episode in, but so far, sounds brilliant. I love it. Number two, Detective. They just interview this old detective guy and talk about his previous case. It's total, I remember the first time I saw a dead body. You never get rid of that smell in your nose. Oh, it's just, if you like to listen to old guys from the military or the cops talk. Oh my God, this sounds brilliant. I love it. One episode in, and I'm already hooked. Mystery show where this person, Starly, takes on cases about things that are missing or things that you don't understand, want to know why it happened kind of thing. And she hunts down the answers. And one of them was, how tall is Jake Gyllenhaal? And the whole podcast is about her trying to discover outright, because the guy who wanted to know would only take it from Jake Gyllenhaal's lips. So she had to get him on the podcast. And basically,
and does she?
She does.
Oh my God.
But like the whole process going through, like she had a whole legion of fans basically going up to Jake Gyllenhaal in New York, going about his business, going, "Hi, Mr. Gyllenhaal, I love you. I love your films. How tall are you?" And
I might have to listen to this episode.
It's pretty good. Mystery show is pretty good. And the fourth one is called Lore. It's an author. I can't remember his name at the moment, but he talks about things like vampirism kind of thing, or the Afterglow Vista mausoleum on the San Juan Islands kind of thing. Like, I knew about it, but now I want to go from listening to this. The murder house in Chicago. Like, they're 20-minute long podcasts, and him in his soothing sort of tone talking about disturbing things, and I love it. So those are my four new podcasts that I highly recommend.
I've added a couple of those to my listen list because I'm walking like everywhere, so I'm running out of material to listen
to. Exactly. I walk 3 hours a day, so I burn through a lot.
Yeah.
I got to start walking more because...
And I can't listen to
podcasts. I can barely listen to all the podcasts that I have.
Yeah, so this is like, it's actually turned into a really good way for me to burn through the stuff that I listen to on a regular basis. And I've had to add a couple of new ones. So I added The Inquiry, which is a BBC show where they basically ask one question, and it's a news podcast, so they ask like one question, like should we be dealing with ISIS, and then they talk to a bunch of experts that each give their own idea of what we should be doing about ISIS. So it's, some of the questions are a little more esoteric than others. Like one of the most recent ones was talking about artificial intelligence and what we should be doing about artificial intelligence. So, I mean, the questions aren't always really interesting, but I find that I always end up listening to the show anyways. And I just started listening to Nocturne. I've only listened to one episode of that, and it's basically a woman that interviews people who do interesting things at night. And it seems like she has a very female angle to the stories. So the stories are usually about women that are in some way taking back the night for themselves, doing something that, you know, is kind of like regarded as something you shouldn't be doing. Yeah, that's the one.
All right, subscribing to The Inquiry.
And those are the two new ones that I've added that I've been really enjoying lately.
I don't have any new ones because I haven't felt like I have the space, but kind of my highlights. I listened to Before the Dawn.
Oh, gosh.
Mostly, except when you guys are like talking about a book I haven't read or,
oh, okay, yeah,
you know, like Flowers in the Attic, full show recap. It's like, eh. Canada Land for my Canadian politic hit. For my drama stuff, I can't recommend these enough, actually, if you're into this kind of stuff. Drabblecast, Escape Pod, and Podcastle. This is Cthulhu month, so they've been doing Cthulhu written-alike stuff, and they're actually doing an H.P. Lovecraft story.
Is this the Drabblecast one?
Drabblecast, yeah.
What was the H.P. Lovecraft story this year?
I forget the title of it.
Last year it was Shadow Out of Time.
It's like a two-parter. It's a long one. would have to look it up. I do some tech stuff, so JavaScript Jabber and On the Media is always good.
Yeah, I'm addicted to NPR shows.
Yeah, I wish I had more time for NPR and Planet Money.
Yes.
Those are
the two that you got me on.
There is a tech show. If you're at all into electronics, there's this really geeky one called The Amp Hour, which is my kind of ode to a path not taken, because I got a 2-year diploma in electronics at BCIT, and then I went more into computing, and I never did do the electronics, but the interest is still there. So I get a vicarious fix listening to these guys
talk
engineering geek, and like, yeah, it's pretty cool. Not so much anymore because I'm running out of time, but I try and listen to Green Screen of Death, which is
That's right, Adrian Charlie and our friend Bill Harris
and The Sniffer, when they actually do podcasts, Nora Young and Kathy Bond.
Yes,
and
I love Nora Young's voice. Amazing.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I definitely have a voice crush.
Soothing.
And The National at Issue. Actually, I'll stop now because there's Transom for my journalistic audio production fix. Writing excuses. I don't even pretend to write anymore, but if you're writing, What the Fuck with Mark Maron, although less selected episodes, very selected episodes.
Actually, with Mark Maron, like What the Fuck and Nerdist, I'm very selective. Oh, I usually only listen.
I skipped over Nerdist, but yeah. Nerdist
Happy, Sad, Confused, same thing. I pretty much only listen when I like, I'm interested
there
in the...
There is so much good stuff out there.
Oh, totally.
So much.
Totally. I want to quickly mention, because NPR is like this deep valley of doom. Like once you start,
and
it's hard
really
to stop.
And they're really pushing it now too.
Yeah, and now like at every episode, like they recommend some new show, and I've stopped listening to the recommendations because I find that I want to listen to them all, and there just isn't time. But I would highly recommend Death, Sex, and Money with Anna Sale. She is currently doing, or just wrapped a whole week of shows on... because they usually only do a show once a week, but they've done a special to celebrate the 10th anniversary of Katrina. So they've been telling stories out of New Orleans for the entire week. So it's at deathsexandmoney.org/New Orleans. Really fascinating stories. And the show, her show is just interesting anyways. It's about the things that, you know, you talk about, but should actually talk about more, Death, Sex, and Money. So it's really fascinating. But the shows they just did on New Orleans are really, really interesting. Definitely worth checking out. That's our media show. Books? What? Do you guys have books?
Oh.
You're the two readers, and you're playing video games, which you still need to talk about.
I'll throw that out really quick. And I'm playing Witcher 3 right now. Really, really interesting storyline. Like, I definitely noticed with the video games I've played, like, the storyline makes such a big difference to how much I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Witcher 3 is kind of fascinating. It's set in a medieval time. All of the, like, background NPCs are really stereotypical. The main characters, they have, like, some really strong women characters in there, which is kind of, like, unusual in my experience of playing video games. And cool, but it still very much has the male gaze in the artwork. So that's kind of interesting. I may take some heat for this because I give myself some heat for this, but I was just so heard so much about it. I just wanted to experience playing it. So I played Grand Theft Auto 5.
Mm-hmm.
I finished the storyline. Some of the parts of the storyline may be really uncomfortable. it deserves that criticism. The part where, like, one of the big things that brought it to the fore was, like, you could hire a hooker to get health back and then beat her up to steal the money back. You can't do that anymore. You can still hire the hooker. Most of the stuff in there is pretty PG in terms of, like, raciness and nudity and that kind of thing.
The car shake when you're having sex with a hooker.
That's about it.
Dan's played this. It's the only reason I know.
Yeah, the storyline is pretty... it's kind of fun at times, like the writing. This is the thing that I was left with. It's like it deserves most of the criticism it gets about the its kind of attitudes towards women and this kind of societal stuff. I mean, you are playing some pretty despicable people. The writing in it is amazing. Like the characters will pontificate in this very kind of learned way about what they're doing, like not just kind of a ranty thing. I can't even reproduce it. I wish I could write this way. I found that really, really entertaining. Some people might find it tedious. And I feel really sorry. This is my final comment. I feel really sorry for the people that worked on the game because the game is kind of amazing. I was just flying the helicopter around because it was beautiful. And you can do 50 gajillion things in this game. Like there's a tennis mini game, there's a golf mini game. I'm like, wow, like the production values on this are amazing, and they've wasted it on kind of a crap storyline.
Yeah, and Dan, whenever he's played Grand Theft Auto, he's always played sort of not the main storyline. He's always played sort of the side stories.
They have a lot of side things, yeah.
Because he prefers the sort of more free search of the universe than actually trying to solve the...
They have a big, like, diverse thing laid out, and you can interact with a lot of it and just, like, drive around.
Which is what he likes to do.
Yeah, it's really kind of amazing on that count. But now I've done that for better or for worse, but definitely enjoying Witcher 3.
Awesome.
Books. I'm not playing video games.
but you read.
But I am reading a lot. I have a friend, Warren, who is in Iceland, who gave a recommendation a while back of Ross McDonald, because I do like my detective novels. And I've read a couple, but on our way to podcast today, I stopped off at Brown's Bookstore on Hastings near... the Vancouver-Burnaby border. Anyways, it's a full-on mystery bookstore, and I'm going to go back, and I got myself like 5 Ross McDonald's, so I'm going to be buried in the book cave for a while. So you'll not see me till next time. Thank you, Lou Archer.
My last big bout of reading was back in May when I went to Nelson because I was traveling, and there's lots of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
To read. I've been trying to make more time to read. Haven't had a lot of chance. So I'm working my way through a series called Destroyerman by Taylor Anderson. It's a sci-fi conceit. It's kind of like a movie. I think it was called Final Countdown. These American destroyermen get pulled in through this vortex into like an alternate Earth.
Oh, cool.
And where the people have descended from lemurs, so they're kind of lemur people.
Monkey people.
Dinosaurs are, well, they're not quite dinosaurs, but they're like as badass as dinosaurs. And it turns out that this has happened through time. So there's some British folks that have also get pulled. It's like, it's a big world. It's like about seven. I think I'm on about four. A friend loaned me the books. So that's my kind of when I can steal a few moments away to read reading. And yeah. I have a couple more to go on that. And I have a big stack that people have loaned me and that I've bought. And I have to try and make more room to read because I do truly enjoy it when I get a chance
to. And this is the thing. Like, I've been so busy trying to clear the other media stuff that I haven't been doing a lot of reading this year, which has been really sucky. So I've been reading some comic books, but beyond that, I haven't been reading much of anything. I did start Childhood's End when I was in Victoria last weekend. I picked it up for like really cheap at Russell's Books, which was awesome. So I will be reading that for the next little while. But beyond that, I haven't really read much of anything. I did read the first, collected anthology of Preacher. Not my thing. The story is kind of cool, and I'll probably watch the TV show, but I'm not going to read any more of that.
I think I had the same reaction to that. Yeah, it's kind of ultra violent. And it doesn't hit you at first. Like, well, okay, it didn't hit me at first. Like, I'm reading
it's true.
And like, it was about, I think, the third or the fourth. It's suddenly like, wow, there's a lot of people dying in some really gruesome.
Yeah. And it's like I say, like the idea is interesting, but not enough for me to read anymore. So I think I'm kind of done with that one and I'm going to pass it along to somebody else. And I'll just watch the TV show when it finally goes on the air. But yeah, I'm just not really interested in reading any more of that series. So I think I'm going to go back to reading my Dread collected issues, which I bought the first three like 2 years ago at Emerald City, and I'm slowly making my way through the Case Files. So yeah, I think I'm like partway through Case File number one. So I'll just do that. I'll read that for nighttime reading for a while.
I still have a borrowed copy of V for Vendetta that want to read, and I still want to read Fables.
Yeah, I tried Fables, but I have come to the conclusion that, like fairies, fairy tales are really not for me when it comes to like reimaginings. I'm one of the few people that actually likes the Disney-fied versions. Aww. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I also like the non-Disney-fied versions, but I don't like new takes. I'm not a big fan of new takes on fairy tales. So I think I'm just not. I read the first issue of Fables and it didn't do anything for me. So, I mean, it's beautiful, though.
I think I know what you're saying. Like, I'm getting a bit tired of kind of, for the fantasy stuff, that being all that seems to be happening. It was really fun when it first happened. Mm-hmm. And to have an out-and-out reimagining with a new twist was kind of fun for a while. But then it kind of got saturated. The interesting thing I think about Fables is, I don't know my history too much, but I thought they were one of the first to do that. So
yeah, I think they were, because that's been around for a long time.
The fact that you're just coming to it late means that you might have enjoyed it more 10 years ago or something.
I did hear something. I listened to Comixology, the Comixology podcast. I don't usually buy my comic books through Comixology because I like to have like the hard paper.
Yeah.
And occasionally when I do buy them electronically, I don't buy through Comixology, but like their podcast.
You should let people know what that is.
So Comixology is an app there. I think they're maybe owned by Amazon. I'm not sure. You can basically download it for any electronic device you might have, computer, Kindle, iPad, Android device, whatever. And it's basically just, it's like an Amazon for comic books. They don't have everything on there, but they have a lot of comic books that you can get through there. And they have a podcast that goes live every week where they go through like the new releases for the week. And they recommend comic books. Their belief is that there's a comic book out there for everybody. And they have very specific tastes. Like she really loves like romance comic books and Archie comics, but like in between all of the banter, every once in a while they come across stuff because they explain what the books are about.
Yep.
You usually get some good recommendations. And I don't remember where I started with this.
Oh, I asked you to explain Comixology.
Yes, they were recommending, because I guess Marvel is doing their Secret Wars where they're kind of like rebooting the universe or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, I don't really know how any of this shit works.
I hadn't heard that, but okay.
But yeah, so they're sort of in the middle of Secret Wars and they're rebooting a bunch of the comic, like their main title characters. And they were really recommending the new Thor. And I'm a fan of Thor anyways, so I think I might give that one a go. I did buy the first issue, and I think I'll get to that, but beyond that, not reading anything else. I need to read more. It's really sad.
I used to do a lot of reading when I commuted, but now I listen to podcasts when I commute, and I'm kind of hard-pressed to like switch back.
I
then
sleep in the morning, and I watch TV shows.
You have a long commute, though.
It's not that long.
No?
No, I walk to the train, which is about an hour, and then it's only a 35-minute train ride.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty short, actually. But I sleep in the morning, and then in the afternoon, I usually watch TV because I'm trying to get caught up on my TV shows. But the list of TV shows is dwindling very quickly, so once that's done, I'll be good to go.
Excellent.
As long as I don't add anything new, we're okay.
So I think that's probably it. Yes. Whoever you are that basically asked to know what we are actually feeding on in media, see what you've done?
Yes.
Stop asking us things. Just no, get off asking. Our case.
Keep asking. Keep
we have
asking.
Better things to do.
That's right. Asking is okay, but I'm like, I just looked at it. It's like, our little 10-minute thing is now at like 44 minutes.
I told you.
Which
you
we only
talking,
had about that much on the this. So we better end done. It now.
We are going to end it now. So we'll be back probably with a VIF preview. In the meantime, be sure to come on by world3.com. Check out all the stuff at Quiet Earth. And until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Smile, the worst is yet to come. We'll be lucky if we ever see the sun. Got nowhere to go, we could be here for a while. But the future is forgiven, so smile. We're trying so hard to get it all right. I wanna be somewhere away from this place. Yeah, somewhere just a little closer to grace. A smile, the worst is yet to come. We'll be lucky if we ever see the sun. Got nowhere to go, we could be here for a while. But the future is forgiven, so smile. Smile. Tell me I'm not needed around anymore. But he'll hold me so close at the end of the day. When I'm quiet, I can nearly hear him say, smile, the worst is yet to come. We'll be lucky if we ever see the sun. See the sun.